every afternoon. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
Powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport with you. Happy hour time, 5 o'clock hour. In about 10 minutes, we'll check in with Jay Morrison, who covers the Bengals for The Athletic, and get his take on what's going on with Cincinnati. They're 1-5-1, but four of their five losses have been five points or less. Clearly, Joe Burrow can sling it. So beyond that, they've got some injury issues in the offensive line. So we'll talk with him about that. Titans running back Derrick Henry named AFC Offensive Player of the Month for October. Might as well, Don Davenport, with that stiff arm against Josh Norman in the Buffalo game on the 13th, the 212 yards against Houston on the 18th, and then the 75 yards and the touchdown against the leading rush defense in the NFL last time out.
I think the over 200 rush yards probably put him over the edge for that award, yeah. Right?
I mean, that I gave him 344 yards for the month in three games, five touchdowns. That's 5.6 yards per carry, 114.7 yards per game. And as you pointed out in the last hour, he's got to be salivating over this, man. You know, like a cat sitting in the corner waiting for you to open the top of that nasty wet cat food that you have to serve that smells like garbage. That's what he's doing with that Cincinnati defense coming up this weekend. They are 28th in the NFL in rush defense. Your dog's clearly not cat people. They are not celebrating National Cat Day at your house. Although I would like to introduce like a new cat into the mix and see how that goes.
A cat would not make it. Oh, my gosh.
I heard Travis come in there trying to take care of business.
Working from home, man. Working from home.
Working from home. Glad to be working. So there is that. But, yeah, today is National Cat Day. We went off on that a little bit earlier. Some bits of news for me and Rappaport. The Chargers had a player test positive for COVID. That player and all close contacts were told to stay safe and isolate. So watch out for Chargers Denver. We'll see what happens there. Nashville SC is officially in the playoffs. They are the sixth MLS team to make the playoffs in year one. Congratulations to those guys. And we were talking about Derrick Henry. So far this season, Don, Derrick Henry, 143 carries, 663 yards, 4.6 yards per carry. He's averaging 110.5 per game with seven touchdowns. That projects out to 381 carries.
Oh, my goodness.
He's been up around that. The projected number's been up around 400 pretty much all year.
So that's better?
A little bit better.
Well, that's because they were only on the field for a minute and 20 seconds in the first corner on Sunday.
Yeah, that was not good. I heard Rhett Bryan talking about it last night during Coach Mac's show, Mac Talk, where he said we missed three breaks that we would normally take in a first quarter because Pittsburgh had the ball so long. He goes, That's when I knew things weren't really going well.
That's when you know you're in a bad spot.
In a bad spot. So his numbers projected out would be 381 carries, 1,768 yards, and 19 touchdowns. So compared to last year when he won the NFL rushing title, he had 303 carries. So that's 78 fewer. He had 1,540 yards. So that's 228 yards fewer. And he had 16 touchdowns, which is three touchdowns fewer. That's pretty significant stuff where you can kind of layer performances like that. And Earl Campbell did it in 79 and 80. He had like 3,500 yards in two seasons. But generally speaking around the league, it's hard to find, you know, multiple performances like that, that kind of dominance. So injury, stay injury free. And ooh, and he's got a chance to have a really special year. Here is where Derrick Henry already sits on the franchise records, like Oilers and Titans. He is already the fourth all-time leading rusher in franchise history, behind Eddie George, who has 10,009 yards, Earl Campbell, who has 8,574 yards, and Chris Johnson, who has 7,965 yards. So he's got some room to go before he gets into that threesome right there. But I mean, he's in year five and he's fourth all time.
Yeah. And those are some pretty good backs ahead of him as well. That's pretty impressive. Not a surprise though. And I don't know about you. Do you feel, we talked a little bit about this. Do you feel that, you feel he's pretty loose right now? He's feeling it. He's in a good place. I think this offense is in a good place. You see him a little more active on Twitter. We saw him on a guy who is typically pretty quiet. See him on College Game Day. He was their celebrity picker for Alabama for that game. You see a little bit more of him. He's putting himself out there a little bit, feeling in a good place.
I mean, he's talking about who's got the best hamburger, and he came up with Wendy's. Yeah. And he was asked about it today on the conference call.
He stepped that back a little bit.
He said Wendy's has one of the best burgers.
Yes.
Which is interesting because, like, it's funny that, you know, stuff like those kinds of questions come up doing what we do all the time. You know, like, who's got the best pizza? Who's got the best burger? All this stuff.
What's your favorite restaurant in town? All that.
Right. And no disrespect to the chains, but I typically don't think chain first. Not that they're not good and all of this stuff. But it's funny, like, you know, Gabby's and I mean, you could just the pharmacy. You could go down the list of, like, really cool places in Nashville. But it's funny because he put it on Twitter and then we retweeted it. So I saw a lot of the suggestions that were going his way. You know, maybe he'll get out there and try, but no, you're right though. For him to have those kinds of conversations on social media, he's really not that guy typically.
No.
So I think
he's a quiet guy. He doesn't love the media. At any time I've ever talked to him, I got to stand close to him to hear him. You know, he's very soft spoken, not what you would expect from a guy that just barrels over people.
No, and I think that has everything to do with this matchup coming up this weekend. I think he feels good about it. I think he's loose. I think he's going to have a big day. I think Tannehill's going to have a big day too. And the concern from a Titan perspective about the Titans-Bengals game is, you know, not that they lose 20-13. I think it's that the game gets into some sort of shootout form, right, where Joe Burrow is slinging it down the field and scoring points and Ryan Tannehill's matching him, and then it turns into a tennis match and, like, you know, who serves last, right, kind of deal. That's where the concern is.
Is able to make an actual stop last. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not concerned at all.
I'm not. I think because I really think that this defense was embarrassed by that first half performance, by their inability to get off the field at all, much less on third down. And those third down conversions, 8 of 9 for the Steelers, they weren't third and short, you know,
right.
They're third and 14, third and 11. And so I really feel that this defense kind of is going to take this. That was their third game in 13 days. Maybe they can get their feet back a little bit under them, get healthier. Adoree has practiced again. I think we're going to see some of him. I think that changes things for him. And I think they want to go out and prove that they're not that first half, honestly, that they're not this first half of the season defense that they've put on tape right now, because it's not been ideal.
Yep. Played pretty well in the second half against
this year. I think this is the game that they do it. And I think this is also the game that maybe we stop talking about their inability to touch the quarterback.
Yep. Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for The Athletic. He joins us coming up. By the way, my favorite personally, Rotiers, the French bread burger at Rotiers is amazing over on Ellison. So you can check them out.
Pharmacy, man.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a lot of places in town. Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for The Athletic. He's next. 3HL 104.5. This
do I have every...
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Titans and Bengals coming up this weekend. You can catch it right here on The Zone. Mike Keith with the call. Dave McGinnis, Titans radio analyst. Amy Wells on the sideline. Let's get a little Bengal perspective. Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Joins us now via Zoom. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Doing great, Brent. How are you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to this game. We were kind of talking during the break, and I told you Titans fans think this is going to be a shootout, and you said –
I do as well. I mean, yeah. It's funny because I talked about this on our podcast this morning. It's like, you can't say these teams are mere images because you look at the records and they're the complete opposite. But just the way things are working out, that the Bengals have been really good, except for one game on against Baltimore. They've been really good on offense. Joe Burrow just keeps getting better, but their defense just cannot get off the field, cannot stop anybody. And it's kind of the same thing the Titans are going through right now, where they can't get off the field on third down. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. The Bengals have injuries on the defensive line. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. Titans turn people over. The Bengals do not. That right. might be the one difference in this game.
Yeah, and the Titans do a pretty good job protecting Ryan Tannehill. He got sacked a lot last year, but only seven times so far in six games this year. The biggest difference, and I totally agree with you, just watching some of the Cincinnati games this year, as the Titans had COVID issues, so we're bouncing around watching all kinds of football that didn't include the Titans there for a couple weeks. But it looks like with some teams, it takes learning how not to lose, right, to learn how to win. And the Bengals are 1-5-1, but if you dive a little deeper than that, they've lost four of those five games by 5 points or less. So yeah, they're right year, there.
Yeah, last year when they were 2-14, eight of their losses were one score or less, 8 points or less. That's been kind of the MO, where you're right, there is something to learning how to win these games. And situational football is a big part of this. I've been mm-hmm. tracking this stat. It's ridiculous. The Bengals have given up points in the final 2 minutes of the first half in 37 of their last 53 games. I mean, this goes back to Marvin Lewis. It's just an ongoing thing, and it's killing them. If they're not getting the ball first in the second half, you're basically giving the opponent a double chance to score and really take control of the game. And we saw it last week against Cleveland. It's the same thing. The final 2 minutes of games, we saw it in Philadelphia. They had that game won. They let Carson Wentz go right down the field. Last week, they let Baker Mayfield go right down the field. When it matters the most, they just can't seem to rise up and get a stop. And until they do that, I don't know how they get over the hump.
What's going on up front? Obviously, everybody knows the stat, 28 sacks for Joe Burrow, but he's been hit so many times too. And that kid's tough. There's no doubt. He gets up and keeps slinging it. But what's going on up front that needs to improve?
Yeah, I mean, they came into the season, they had so many problems last year. It was kind of one of those things where we can't fix everything in one offseason. And it was basically a decision between linebacker and offensive line. And they have some young yet unproven offensive linemen that they believe in, that they felt that could take steps this year. And they just decided, we're going to pretty much ride with what we've got. And it's not a great offensive line, but it is leaky. And Joe Burrow sometimes is bad with his eyes. He's struggling to pick up the blitz from time to time. He really did in the Baltimore game. He had no idea where the guys were coming from. He got the free runners all over the place. That was the worst game by far. And a lot of it is him holding on to the ball too long. The offensive line is holding up as long as they should, but Joe Burrow is so good at extending plays and making things happen on the run. And, in college, he can put spin moves on and juke pass rushers. He's tried to do that a couple times in the NFL, and he's paid for it. So it's just a matter of him learning he needs to get rid of the ball quicker, and the offensive line needs to get better. That's not going to happen. I mean, that's something they're gonna have to address in the offseason. And now, as bad as the offensive line has been, three of their starters went down last week against Cleveland. Doesn't look like any of them are going to play this week, so that Titans pass rush could get right this week against really a second string to a second class offensive line.
Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for The Athletic. I was going to go there with you. So Bobby Hart definitely out with the knee. And then the other offensive tackle, Jonah Williams, has a neck thing day-to-day. Didn't practice yesterday or today. In the center, Trey Hopkins, with a concussion, did not practice yesterday or today, nor today. So you don't anticipate those guys being available this weekend?
No, especially – well, they've already ruled Hart out.
Okay.
With concussion, with Hopkins, it's just – it doesn't seem probable that he would be able to come back, make it through protocol. You know, there's certain steps you have to go through, and he would basically just be limited tomorrow. It's a stretch to think he would play. They have Billy Price, their backup center, who was a first round pick in 2018. He played pretty well last week when Trey got hurt. So I think they're good there. The real issue is at tackle. I mean, Bobby Hart and Jonah Williams, if they're out, what we saw last week, they went to Fred Johnson, who was a guy they signed off waivers last year, and Hakeem Adeniji, who was their sixth round rookie pick this year. And those guys were basically, I mean, they're big enough to play tackle, but they were basically backup guards until they were forced into the issue last week to play tackle. So it's really going to be dicey on the edge for the Bengals offensive line this week.
Joe Mixon also not practicing. What's going on with his situation?
Yeah, I think that's a situation where we're not going to see him play either. He hurt the foot in the Indianapolis game 2 weeks ago. He finished the game, but he did not practice at all last week, and he didn't play, obviously. And now with the bye sitting on the other side of this Titans game, I think they're just being cautious. Again, a pretty solid backup in Giovanni Bernard. He's not a guy that's going to be able to carry the full load for an entire season because he's not that big, but he's one of the best pass protectors and blitz pickup guys in the league. And he's really, for his size, he's a tough inside runner. I think he's not as explosive as Joe is, but I think they'll be okay there in terms of running the ball.
Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for The Athletic. We talk about Joe Burrow in that passing game. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Tyler Boyd has had at least four receptions in every game this year, 48 receptions, 517 yards, two touchdowns. You got T. Higgins, who's from the state of Tennessee, having a great rookie season, and A.J. Green, of course, we all know about. You know, that's another conflicting thing for the Titans defense is the secondary pass coverage. These guys should have some opportunities in this game. Tell Titans fans what they're going to see from these three wide receivers.
Yeah, for a while there, the question was, is A.J. Green washed up? Is he done? He had not played in 23 of the last 24 games, didn't play at all last year, missed almost all of camp with a hamstring injury. Him and Joe Burrow are really slow to kind of get on the same page. In week two, he had 13 targets, only three catches, and everyone's looking around like, what's going on? He had the blow up on the sideline. Not a blow up, but the cameras caught him mouthing, if you're not going to play me, why don't you just trade me in that Ravens game? And since then, they've turned it on. I mean, he was terrific against Indianapolis. Burrow went back to him quite a bit last week against the Browns. They had a lot of third and longs, 8, 9, 10, 12 yards, and he just kept going to A.J. Green. He kept making contested catches. That's the biggest thing that's going in the Bengals' favor right now is establishing that. But then you're right. Tyler Boyd is terrific over the middle of the field, yeah, out of the slot. And that's where Joe Burrow is lethal in that 10 to 19 range. He just puts balls right on guys' hands, hits them perfectly in stride. They've struggled to connect on the deep balls, but that intermediate game right now is really working well. And then T. Higgins is really developing into someone that looks like he's going to be a number one in this league. He's got strong hands. He makes contested catches. He's good with the ball after he makes the catch. And you can just see his confidence growing week after week after week. Had his third touchdown of the season last week.
If you were the Titans, how do you go about attacking this Cincinnati defense? Because they're not good against the pass. They're not good against the run. We were kind of talking during the break, and I mentioned it seems like Derrick Henry's kind of salivating about this opportunity because he's having fun with people on Twitter, which he doesn't typically do. Do you start there maybe with the run game and Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think I would. It's interesting that the reason, like I mentioned earlier, where they had to decide between offensive line and linebacker. They've been, yeah, terrible against the run for the longest time, and we're finally seeing them get some traction there. They've got linebackers that can make plays in space, and they went out and got Von Bell in free agency, who's a strong run defender. He's been a liability in coverage, but they're doing a lot better against the run, and it started off bad. Cleveland just gashed him over 200 yards in week two, but the last 3 weeks against the Colts and against the Browns and even the Ravens, they held the Ravens to some like ridiculously low numbers since Lamar Jackson's been there. That the run defense has really improved. The issue more so has been the secondary and guys just running wide open, busted plays, big plays. But if you've got a guy like Derrick Henry, I think that's where you start. It's missed tackles are still a bit of a problem. They just have more guys rallying to help out, but it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with a guy like Derrick Henry, because they have not faced a really big back. Well, there's really no one like him, but they have not faced a big back this year.
Interesting stuff. So shootout, score in the 30s, whoever has the ball last wins. Is that what kind of what you're thinking here?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I think the Bengals are going to be able to move the ball and get points, and Joe Burrow is going to keep putting up these crazy numbers. He has been prone to make a mistake here or there, but I went 35-31 Titans. I think the Bengals are still struggling to get over the hump, and Tennessee's just a little too good for the Bengals to spring the upset.
35-31. So you're going with the over, and it's funny, the line has come down from 6 to 5.5 today and 5 in some spots, even though most of the money's going with the Titans. So that kind of makes me wonder a little bit there too, but I'm kind of with you. I like that 35-31 score with the Titans winning, and you know, it should be a fun one.
Yeah, the Bengals have covered every game but one this year. They are in every game except that Baltimore game, and they've been interesting to watch. I'm sure they've been frustrating for Bengals fans, but it's a step in the right direction. At least they're getting close.
Well, Jay, we appreciate the time, man. We look forward to a great matchup this weekend, and we'll talk again.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, Brent.
All right, that's Jay Morrison, covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Yeah, it's interesting. The Titans now favored by 5.5. 69% of the bets are going toward the Titans. Looking at actionnetwork.com, 3 of their top NFL experts are betting on Tennessee. When you look at Signal Strength, there's one pro system on Cincinnati. They win at a 63% rate. So they're on Cincinnati. Tennessee is getting 69% of the bets. They're getting 94% of the money, and the line continues to come down. So if you want Tennessee, you can get them for less than 6 points. And by the way, sports wagering in Tennessee is legal this weekend. So make sure you check that out. Todd Furman joined us yesterday, and he broke down this Cincinnati-Tennessee game, and he has a different take than.
The locals won't be thrilled with this, but I'm going to put the Titans on upset alert for their trip to Cincinnati. I think you look at the recent gauntlet that the Titans have gone through, the big game against Buffalo on the Tuesday night. You follow it up with a divisional game where they outlast the Texans, and the furious comeback that they put forth against the Steelers. Who would fault them if human emotion got the best of them and they didn't put forth an A effort here on the road against a 1-5-1 Bengals side? Meanwhile, Cincinnati traded away veteran Carlos Dunlap, which I think helped clears up the locker room, and it began to realize, hey, this is the young guy's team. Joe Burrow has a chance to get a big win in his first season. And the Titans have a daunting schedule coming up. They take on the Bears, a couple of games against the Colts. This has letdown, bubble burst, whatever you want to call it, written all over it. I like the Bengals here plus the points, and would not be stunned at all if the Bengals actually win this game outright on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting. This game does not make Don Davenport nervous at all. It does make me nervous. What about you? 615-737-1045 is the number. That's 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045 on Twitter. Tennessee is 9-6 in Cincinnati since the Titans came to Nashville. It's going to be interesting. I just think I go down the same path that Jay Morrison did. I just think that it's going to be a back and forth kind of game. I could see a scenario where Tennessee gets right defensively a little bit, gets some sacks. They only have 10 on the season. So this will be an opportunity to get some pressure on Joe Burrow. But they do go empty a lot. They do try to get the ball out of his hand a lot quickly, I should say. And the other part of that is he's a rookie. So he is trying to extend plays a little bit, and that's when he gets caught in some trouble. And it's not just the sacks, it's the hits as well. So my thought is Derrick Henry has a huge game. My thought is Ryan Tannehill has a huge game. My thought is Joe Burrow has a huge game. But I think that Burrow will turn it over a couple of times, and that's why Tennessee wins. I'm not as confident about this game as Don Davenport is. Maybe you are. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045 on Twitter. Let's go to Book It, who joined us yesterday to say that the Titans would score on the opening drive after losing the coin toss. This is how detailed Book It gets. He also said that the Buffalo quarterback would exit the game at 9:06 p.m. He actually exited the game at 9:03 p.m. So he was dead on there. Let's see what Bookett has to say today. What's up, man?
Bookett, got to say, man, Brent, I think you've had too much catnip. You and that guy from Cincinnati, no way is it going to be a shootout. What the shootout's going to be is the Titans will treat them like a baked potato. They will be done in the second quarter. The only shootout's going to be is when the Titans go through the player exit and shoot out of town with a big win. That 35-31, you better not put too much money on your inaugural bet because you're going to lose it. Take the over. Give them all the points they want. It's not going to be pretty, Cincinnati.
Love it. Book it. I get it. Maybe it goes that way. I mean, Tennessee's the better team. And at some point, they've got to get better on third down D, right? At some point, they've got to get better in the secondary. A lot of that will have to do with Adoree Jackson being out there. But even when he's out there, Christian Fulton's now hurt. So we're still waiting to see the two of those guys on the field at the same time. Book it's all in. Lee next up on line two, 615-737-1045. Lee, go ahead.
Hey man, like my guy before said, I don't think it's going to be a problem, man. Like I say, we've pulled out these games that we usually lose, the last 2 years since Mike's been here, and we pulled them out. Like I say, the Steelers, we fall back on them. But like I say, we have a bitter taste in our mouth for this week, and I think we're going to take it out on Cincinnati Bengals. Like I say, Joe Burrow, man, he doesn't have that much protection up front. Half his line is gone. So like I say, man, Clowney and Beasley, they can show their true colors why we brought them here. And like I say, when Adoree comes back to secondary, man, it will take off. Trust me. Adoree will show you guys why we signed him. Thanks, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Lee. Appreciate it, man. 615-737-1045. If you want in, that's 615-737-1045. Speaking of Clowney, he did miss practice today for the second day in a row with a knee. At least on a cursory level, we're paying attention to that for sure. 615-737-1045. Don's confident. I think the Titans win, but I think it's a shootout, and I think it's close. That's kind of where we are. Where are you? 615-737-1045.
The Titan.
Today is National Cat Day, and a lot of y'all are cat people, and a lot of y'all are not cat people. We've learned today that cats are divisive creatures.
You either love them or you hate them.
Yeah.
They're like politicians. There's no in between.
So on National Cat Day, Jason Swain joined us earlier. Don hasn't heard this, but I asked him, on National Cat Day, Swain, are you a cat guy? Listen.
Cats are pointless, man. They don't do anything. They don't do any tricks. They don't speak. They're pointless, man. They don't do anything. They act like it's their house, and you don't pay rent. You don't pay bills. They look at you all funny when you walk in. They got the fakest attitude ever. No, dude, I hate cats. Give me a dog.
Oh my gosh. Cats are pointless, man.
They don't do tricks.
Some of them do.
Tricks?
Yeah, there's some. I mean, didn't you watch Meet the Parents? Like, that cat could go utilize the toilet.
Okay, well, that was a cat actor, though. Like, you know, that's different. That's like your brother. You know, he can do tricks, too.
It's true. Jinxie cat.
They look at you crazy when you come in the house. That's definitely true. Like, why are you in my house? That's what they're looking at.
Why are you home? What are you doing here?
Why are you here? This is my house. So National Cat Day. Again, you can send us pictures of your cat. Lots of people are sending us pictures of their dog on National Cat Day. I guess, shouldn't National Dog Day be tomorrow? I don't know.
I feel like there's like 15 to 20 dog days, so I feel like they make up a new one every week, every month. You at least
they
have
definitely
one.
Do. Yeah. Hey, so how was Coach Kiffin?
He was good. Yeah, I mean, typical Lane Kiffin, right? You know, he tells it how it is. I appreciate that. Can I just say that from a media perspective, do you not love a guy like Lane Kiffin? I mean, it's the same thing we talk about with Mike Leach.
From a fan perspective, I like it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like everybody hated Steve Spurrier back in the day, but I loved it because like that guy was in, I like to be entertained by sports. Right. Yeah. So like sports is like an escape from the reality of the situations that a lot of us deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so like Spurrier was hilarious, and just being around that guy, like he would say anything.
He was constantly
cracking jokes, and Kiffin's kind of like that, honestly, just with the power of social media.
Yeah. So. Well, and I even asked him about that too, just the social media, why Twitter's important and all of that. And one of his comments was, life's too short. I mean, you got to enjoy it. And he's absolutely right. And he has been extremely transparent about since his Tennessee days and his USC days. He has been very honest about kind of the struggle he had career wise of, you know, jumping and the trip to the NFL, all of it. He's been very open and about all of it. And I appreciate it. It was interesting him talking about Twitter, though, and why it's important. You know, he pointed out, he said, I wasn't really into it until I got to Alabama. And then the NCAA, you know, made the rule from a recruiting standpoint, you couldn't text recruits, but you could communicate with them on Twitter at that point, like DMs, you know, you could have unlimited communication. So if you're a coach, you had no choice but to jump on Twitter and kind of be a big part of it. And so that was kind of what started his social media presence, and it has just gone completely haywire now.
Well, I know when he left Tennessee, Tennessee fans were riotous, and there were burning mattresses in the streets. Like he had to wait it out, then leave through the back door, all these things. But I know that, you know, he told Mike Hamilton when that USC job came open, he said, look, that's my dream job. He goes, now they got to go through about 10 people before they get to me, which happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know he was very upfront with Tennessee about that, particular, school. Even before that job came open, they knew, that was the one school. So, you know, I mean, look, I grew up a Tennessee guy. My last name's on a building up there, and you know, my great grandfather hired General Nealon and all of those things. But if I went down that path of football coach, and you know, I'm sitting at Oklahoma State and I'm in year one at Oklahoma State and the Tennessee job comes open and they want me, I'm leaving.
You're taking it, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I know it didn't go the way that they wanted, but yeah, but
he's back in the SEC though, and that's fun.
And it's very entertaining.
Love him or hate him.
And I can't wait until we see 2.5 million pennies sitting on the doorstep of the SEC office in Birmingham.
It's happening.
It's going to happen.
No doubt it's happening.
Although the one thing that helps the SEC with this deal is like there's a coin shortage in this country. So maybe the SEC will end up with every penny that's left out there.
What a mess.
Hey, back at it tomorrow. We're going to be at Barrels and Brews on Nolensville, and we're looking forward to that. Come by and see us and get stocked up for the weekend. That's an awesome, awesome store. Tons of bourbon that you won't find in other places. Great wine selection. Come by and see us. We would love to see you. That's Barrels and Brews tomorrow on Nolensville.
Yeah, the Vod will join us, and Tracy Wolfson also going to join us tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Yes.
Sorry, later. Not in person.
Yeah.
See ya.
Later. Happy Cat Day.
Tomorrow.